ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hey, Jules and Jez here. Join us as we unpack the news of the week on Not Stupid.
Greenland is depicted the same size as Africa, but Africa is 14 times the size.
A lot bigger than the Mercator map shows.
And I wonder if Donald Trump knows that Greenland is not that big.
You can find Not Stupid on the ABC Listen app. Donald Trump is finally trying to temper the ICE crackdown in Minneapolis, which has seen the death of two protesters after they were shot by federal agents. But why did he let it go so far in the first place? Today, Claire Finkelstein, a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania, on what Trump's really trying to achieve and why the events mirror the lead-up to a civil war. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Claire, the images coming out of Minneapolis of protesters being wrestled to the ground, of people being sprayed in the face with pepper spray, of these ICE agents using a very heavy hand.
Below freezing temperatures, not enough to cool tensions in Minneapolis.
I'm really angry. I have a lot of friends who are really scared to go outside right now, you know, regardless of their citizenship status.
Everyone's being hassled, everyone's being harassed, and our rights are just being trampled on. These goons are going around without any respect for the Constitution or our rights.
Just tell me, as a US citizen, what do you think when you see this?
It is really shocking, and it's nothing I've ever seen in my lifetime before. We're all familiar with the Kent State shootings, Vietnam War protests that sometimes got out of hand, but we really never expected to see federal agents firing on American citizens who are engaging in peaceful protest, exercising their First Amendment rights.
What are you doing here? What did you do?
And the brutality that we're seeing, it's not just one isolated incident here or there. It's so widespread. Mm. The daily reports of brutality from these agents, it certainly looks and feels as though this is not an accidental sort of lack of training or a situation that's gotten out of hand, but a sort of deliberate strategy.
These protests, of course, are in response to the shooting death of 37-year-old Alex Pretty, and that came after the shooting of Renee Nicole Good on January the 7th. Now, both these residents, Claire, they were trying to document what the ICE agents were actually doing at the time, weren't they?
Right. And let's look in more detail in both cases at the use of force, because in the case of Renee Nicole Good, there's been a forensic report that the shot that killed her was the third shot. And that was issued from behind her very clearly as her car is driving away. In the case of Alex Pretty, there was the reporting that he had a gun. From the video, you can see very clearly that the gun is being removed from his person and that the shooting takes place after the gun is removed. So he, at the time that he was shot, he was really no threat to the officers. And at no point did he brandish that gun, did he take out that gun or in any way use it against the officers.
And of course, the Trump administration's version of what's happened in these cases, it differs from the vision that the whole world can see.
Well, I think that's the other thing that's quite shocking to all of us Americans right now, is to have the federal government come out and falsify what we are seeing with our own eyes and do it so brazenly.
Fearing for his life and for the lives of his fellow officers around him, an agent fired defensive shots. This looks like a situation where an individual arrived at this scene to inflict maximum damage on individuals and to kill law enforcement.
And then to back these officers rather than, as you would expect, to distance themselves from this conduct, or at least to say, you know, we'll do an investigation. We need to get to the bottom of it. But instead, what they've been doing is investigating the victims.
She was a agitator, probably a paid agitator, but in my opinion, she was an agitator, a very high-level agitator, so professional, and we will always be protecting ICE, and we're always going to be protecting our Border Patrol and our law enforcement.
And putting the governor under investigation and the mayor, rather than, of course, investigating what really appears to be a regular and systematic unlawful use of force by federal agents.
This tragedy occurred as a result of a deliberate and hostile resistance by Democrat leaders in Minnesota. For weeks, Governor Waltz and the mayor, Jacob Frey, and other elected Democrats were spreading lies about federal law enforcement officers.
Well, Donald Trump now seems to be trying to calm things down. He's sending in his border czar, Tom Homan, to oversee it all. And he's praising now the state's governor, Tim Walz. But Claire, so much damage has already been done, right? Because Trump has given these ICE agents a very, very long leash by the look of it. And many of them have barely had any experience because they've been recruited like a nanosecond ago.
They've been recruited with very little training, and much is made of that point. But I'm a little bit concerned that too much is made of that point, because it seems clear that they are giving an awful lot of latitude to these agents. I'm concerned that what may actually be going on is they're receiving some kind of either direct order or suggestion to engage in these brutalities, that these are not ultra vires, that these are not out of the line of what they're expected to do, and that it's not just a lack of training, but actually that some of the training points in the direction of using unlawful force. And one of the reasons that we need a full investigation of these shooting deaths and of other incidents is we need to understand what is happening behind the scenes and how the agents are believing that they can use force in this manner and that it is justifiable.
All right, well, Claire, I want to turn now to this idea that this is how civil wars begin. Now, as part of your research and before any of this broke out, you ran a civil war simulation where a president carries out a highly unpopular law enforcement operation in Philadelphia and attempts to federalize the National Guard. Tell me about that, because it sounds rather familiar at this point.
That's right. Well, this was actually before the presidential election. This particular exercise that we held was in September of 2024. And so we placed this particular scenario in Philadelphia. It could have been any major Democratic city. And what we saw was that the situation under certain conditions escalated very quickly. And those conditions are present in the Minneapolis case. In particular, when the National Guard was brought in to back up state and local law enforcement, and federal troops could potentially be brought in to back up federal agents, you have a situation in which you have a kind of proxy war, right? You have, in this situation, the potential for Minneapolis police to square off against federal agents, each of them backed by their own military force. Now, we desperately hope that that will not occur, but our tabletop exercise showed us that it was possible, and we had very highly placed individuals who were either currently in state and local government or previously had been in federal government or in the military, and none of them thought this was unrealistic.
So your simulation, of course, leads to a civil war. You're not suggesting this situation will lead to a civil war at this point, but there is always the potential that things could get really out of control and that could be the end point.
Yeah, and I want to be clear that if there were to be an isolated clash between Minneapolis police backed up by Federal Guard troops and federal agents backed up by federal troops, that doesn't by itself mean that we're in a state of civil war. But if you imagine a situation like that more systemically played out across multiple cities, now we start to see that there could be a kind of widespread problem in which the federal government has really pitted itself against state and local authority, and National Guard troops who are loyal to their governors and to the state authority. The ingredients are there for a widespread and deeper confrontation.
All right. Well, Claire, what you have outlined there is deeply concerning. I think that's safe to say. As we've said, Donald Trump is now trying, it seems, at least to calm things down. But what is his motive, do you think? Is it just about deporting illegal immigrants, or is it more than that?
No, I think it's really not entirely about that. So let's remember the letter that Pam Bondi sent to Governor Waltz a couple of days ago. She laid out some conditions for the withdrawal of ICE from Minneapolis. And the third of those conditions was that Waltz turn over voter information to the federal government. Trump is obsessed with replaying the various elections, in particular the 2020 election, why he lost that election. He does not believe he lost that election. And he's very worried about the midterms as well. So is this a sign that what is really going on is that the federal government is trying to get voter information so that it can try to manipulate the midterm elections? That's what everybody fears, in which case you'd have to interpret what's going on the ground there very differently, namely that the pressure would be an intentional effort to then negotiate with the governor to put themselves in a better position for the next election.
Wow. Okay. And Trump, of course, has threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act before, which would grant him sweeping domestic military powers. Would he do that?
Right. And he's talked about it on and off. The concern is if he invokes the Insurrection Act, the restriction that currently operates on him with regard to use of the National Guard will fall away. And he'll be able to federalize National Guard troops and to use them in whatever way he sees fit.
Mm. All right. So, Claire, it sounds like this could be about Donald Trump staying in power. Do you think, though, this is a tipping point for America, or do you think he will step back from the brink?
Well, I was very encouraged by the reports of the conversation that he had with Governor Waltz. It looks as though it's the art of the deal, right? That Donald Trump is willing to negotiate with Governor Waltz. He may realize that he's losing the public opinion battle on this one and that his big signature project of immigration, which has been a selling point among his supporters and drew people to him, is failing in this case, and that he needs to negotiate his way out of this one. I think that would be a good ending to this, but there are conditions in there, like the voter rolls condition, other conditions about turning over unlawful immigrants to the federal government that I don't think Governor Waltz is going to agree to. So I think it's a deal that is probably not going to happen. And the question is, what happens on the other side of that?
And your civil war scenario, I guess that is always on the table.
I think it's always on the table. And Trump's MO is very frequently to lead with a lot of threats We saw this in the case of Greenland as well. Lead with a lot of threats and then back down. It's almost like, you know, Minneapolis or the state of Minnesota is like a foreign country he's negotiating with. Mm. This is why I think the strategy for Minnesota has got to be to shove these disputes into the courts as much as possible so that we're getting hard and fast law about ICE tactics. And that will, at the very least, put state and local officials in a stronger bargaining position relative to Donald Trump and the Department of Homeland Security.
Claire Finkelstein is a national security law professor and the faculty director of the Center for Ethics and the Rule of Law at the University of Pennsylvania. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed, audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.